we have a Gemara Nidarim, Samach Beis Mavez. You've probably heard this Gemara before. Everybody knows it. And it's quoted by the Ran in the very beginning of Nidarim. Tanya, Braisa says, Arba Chashuvim Kames. There are four people who are considered like they're dead. Who are the four people that are considered like they're dead? Ani, a person who's poor. Mitzoira, a person who's saras. Suma, a person who's blind. Misha Ein Lo Banu, somebody who doesn't have any children. Those four people are considered like they're dead, as if they're mace. Why is a Mitzora considered like he's dead? Why do we consider a Mitzora dead, that he's a mace? The assumption is because he's going through a lot of pain, tremendous amount of pain with everything that Saras is going through, and it's ki'ilu like he's dead. The pain is so great, it's as if he's dead. But that cannot be. There is not a single pasuk that speaks about the pain of a Mitzora. Nowhere does it talk about how the Mitzora is in pain. It is called Yisurin, but not because of the tzar involved. We never hear of anything like that. And plus, Kohanim are not doctors. Because you declare a guy Tameh, he's in pain. And when you declare a guy Tahor, he's out of pain. And clearly that's not it. So it's not that. It can't be something like that. So it's got to be something that, granted, saras is something that looks terrible and probably feels really annoying on your skin, right, to have a white spot like that. But we never see that he's in actual pain. So that can't be it. Aside from that, Yisurin altogether cannot be equal to death. That doesn't make any sense at all. I want you to think about that for a second. Pain is equal to someone who's dead. If you're in a lot of pain, it's like you're dead. It's not true. You would always choose Yisurin over death. You would choose Yisurin over death, right? There is a Gemara that says that if they torture me, I'll reveal, but if they kill me, then I won't reveal. Granted, that was there. That's in Bava Metzia on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph with Rabba Bar Nachmeni. But in normal situations, anybody would rather get Yisurin than die. That's what they would prefer, so that at least they still stay alive. We even say it in our halo, Yasur Yisrani Ka Vila Mavis Lonesanani. Give me the Yisurin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't allow me to die. That's obvious. When Bilam, Eov, and Yisro went to give their advice to Paro about what to do with the Jewish problem in Egypt, so each one of them, we know what happened, right? Bilam advised badly and was killed. Eov was silent, and he got Yisurin. So obviously, Bilam got the worst punishment, and that's death. Eov only got Yisurin. Only got Yisurin. Now think about that for a second. Right there, it shows you that Yisurin is there. So it's pretty clear. Death is worse than Yisurin. So even if someone with Saras would be considered the worst kind of Yisurin, which already I would doubt, but let's say Saras was the worst pain that a person could imagine, to consider him like he was dead would be an overstatement. It's not like someone who's dead. That's somebody who's in pain. He has Yisurin, but you would never consider him dead. And aside from that, wouldn't you think there are other diseases or other painful things that a person could go through that would be like they're dead? We only mentioned Saras. It's Ani Mitzora Suma Misha Ein Lobanim. Why don't you just say a general klal of Choli? Choli, sickness, is like death, right? Really bad sickness. Sickness that's Ke'ein Misa is like death itself. Why wouldn't it say something like that? It seems like there's no way that it has anything to do with the pain involved or the Yisurin involved. That's not why Saras is considered like a person who's dead. So why is it? So why is a person who has Saras considered like he's dead? I'm sure you've already thought of an answer. What's the answer? Why is a Mitzora considered like he's dead? Cut off from people. Bodad Yashav Michutz Amachna, that he sits alone outside of the camp itself. Why is that so bad? Okay. When we say these four people are equal to dead people, that death is a mace is equal to these four, it's got to be that there's a connection between these four. It's not that there are four people and nobody else. Because I just said, somebody who's really, really sick probably is also considered like he's dead, right? Why would these four people be mentioned? Suma, Ani, Mitzora, Misha, and Lobanim. Why is it specifically these four people? It's not bringing up just random cases. There's something that's like it. So they're interconnected. There's got to be a common theme. And that theme, obviously, is something that we can learn from and take to apply to a person who's a Mitzora, who's Badad Yashav Michutz Machna. Let's start with the blind person. A blind person is considered dead. But a deaf person? Is a deaf person considered dead? No, a deaf person is fine. Why is a blind person considered dead, yet a deaf person is considered fine? There's no issue with the deaf person. What's the difference between the two? In fact, when it comes to Nezikin, if you blind a guy, if you punch a guy so hard in the face, you blind his eyes, you have to pay for it, right? You have to pay for the amount he was worth before he had blind eyes, and how much he's worth now that he's blind, how much is the difference in that person itself? Do you know if you make a guy deaf, if you punch him so hard in the ears that you deafen him completely and he's no longer able to hear, you have to pay for his entire body. he can no longer be sold as a slave. You pay for the entire thing, which means, seemingly, being deaf is worse than being blind. Because if you're deaf, it's like you're really dead. It's like I just killed your entire body. I got to pay for your entire body. But if you're blind, you're still something. You're able to do something. So damage-wise, there's no question that a cheresh is worse than a suma. So why would a suma be considered dead, but a cheresh is not considered dead? What's the difference when it comes to stuff like that? And it seemingly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is true. It seems like a deaf person is no longer able to communicate. A blind person, as we know, can still communicate. A blind person can communicate with other people. And I know deaf people also can nowadays with sign language. But back in the day, a blind person was able to communicate. A deaf person was not. I'm sorry? What about? I don't, a deaf person himself? Like, what was, I don't think the deaf person had the ability to do what we have nowadays. I don't think he was able to realize what it was, that what it was like. Maybe he was able to read lips. Maybe that's the best that he could do, right? But I'm not positive he had the way to really communicate the way anybody else can. It's certainly not like a blind person. So you think, again, when it comes to this, I would think that a blind person is better than a deaf person, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you consider that there? But here's the difference, and I think this is a little strange. A deaf person may not be able to hear and may not even be able to communicate. But you know what he can do? He can sit down at a table with 10 other people, and he could feel like he's part of a chevra, because he sees the other people around him, and it feels like he's right there along with them. Even though he can't communicate, and he's deaf, and he can't hear what's going on around him, and they might be talking about him behind his back, he might not have anything to do with them, but a deaf person can see himself as if he's part of a chevra. A blind person, even if he's paying attention, if he's talking back, if he has full conversations with the people around him, he's not part of the chevra, because he can't see anyone around him. He can't feel another person's pain the same way that a deaf person can. The deaf person can see that the guy is broken. A blind person can't see it. And we all know, re'iyah, seeing something, is much more effective than just hearing something. You hear about bad news, it's bad. You say, oy vey, baruch dayna emes will say. But you see it with your own eyes, it makes an indelible impression upon yourself. Because we know there's something that's just lacking when you're not able to see. If you're in a dark room and you can't see anything, you could have the same meal in front of you, but it's so different when you're able to see the meal versus when you're not able to see the meal. That's why ambiance is so important in any restaurant, because that's such one of the, if not the most important thing. It's even more than the taste of the food itself. If you have the right ambiance with the right level of how you're looking at something, things are different. You feel different. It feels like something is a little bit different. So again, a deaf person versus a blind person, which guy is considered more damaged? I agree with you. A deaf person is more damaged than a blind person. But a blind person versus a deaf person, which person is more involved in the chevra? Which person is more in the chevra itself? I would tell you, a blind person is less in the chevra than a deaf person is. Without working eyes, when a suma can't hang out with the other people around him, even if he can communicate with them and talk with them and deal with them, but he can't see that he's in a chevra, he feels dead. He's not entirely there. It's as if he's out of the loop completely, more so than anyone else. The same applies by someone who's not able to have, when we say ein lo banim, is everything else going for him? A great wife, more money than any of his friends, right? Because you don't have to spend it on the kids. Endless vacations, tons of sleep, time to do what he wants, right? But he feels isolated from a community that values children as much as it does. That's what he feels isolated from. He feels like he's not part of it because there's something there that he doesn't have. Every person wants so badly to impress himself upon the next generation. And that, not having that son, not having any kids, depresses him tremendously. Look at the woman by Shlomo HaMelech. Simply put, Shlomo HaMelech has two women who come up to him, right? One woman comes up and says, this woman's child died, and she's saying that I stole her child. The other woman said, you did. You killed your own kid, brought him to me, and you stole my child, and you're bringing him to me. What kind of sick, sadistic mind would do something like that? What kind of a terrible person would do that? Someone who feels like they're dead. Someone who feels like they have nothing else to live for. That they don't have that child to take care of. They're out of the loop. They're completely out. And for that reason, again, you have somebody who's ein lo banim, and she knew it wasn't hers. She knew that the baby belonged to somebody else. But nonetheless, somebody who's Ein Lo Banim would be in that category as well, just like somebody who's a Suma out of the community. I can't even tell you. Like, I remember being in Eretz Yisrael where nobody was using birth control, or at least that we knew of, but everybody was having kids right after they were married. So within the first year, you had your first kid, and every person, like within the second year, you had your second kid. It was like one after the other, kisseder by every single person. And there was one family who wasn't able to kid. They were married for 9 months and they didn't have a child. 9 months and they didn't have a kid. And it was the craziest thing in the world. Everybody was davening for them. 9 months and they weren't able to have a child. And people were storming the heavens. They were in everyone's Tehillim group. Everyone's. Because everyone knew, like, how could it be? Oh, yeah, we have to work. And they had a kid, I think, after a year and 4 months or something like that. A year and 4 months, they ended up having a child. And everybody's like, oh, Baruch Hashem. It was like the biggest bracha in the world. And the reason why is because the community that I was in Eretz Yisrael and Ramat Eshkol, everyone was the same. We were all around the same age. Everybody had the same. And they felt left out. When everybody went to the park, they didn't have someone to go to the park with. When everybody was walking around, they didn't have somebody to go around. And it did. It felt like they were out of the loop. So we always invited them over. It was like a conscious decision. We made sure to invite them over for every Shabbos so they wouldn't feel like they're alone. 9 months. 9 months into it. It doesn't seem like that should have been that big of a deal. But that's the idea, at least, that pulls inside the head. And then you have the Ani. I don't think that needs to even be explained, but obviously, this goes for someone who's poor. When you feel you can't do what other people are doing, and you don't have what everyone else has, it doesn't matter that you're wealthier than 85% of the United States of America. It doesn't matter that you're wealthier than 98% of the world, which is true. Anybody in our community, even somebody who has nothing, is wealthier than 98% of the world. 98%. Crazy number, isn't it? But it's still true. If you make over $40,000 a year, you're wealthier than 98% of the world. But it doesn't feel that way, because all you have to do is look at Lincolnwood, and you're just like, wait a second, 98%? What about them? That's all it feels like, right? You sit there, and you're just like, every house in West Riders Park that goes up is 17 houses combined into one. That's what it feels like. It's just like you look at an apartment building, and you're like, oh, wow, that could be a house if you double it up with the next apartment building for someone else. That's not all it feels like. When somebody doesn't have what the other person has, when you walk in and you're sitting there in my beloved, and I love it to death, my 2004 Toyota Camry, and you see the next person driving in their brand new Tesla, which is, again, the worst car in the world, but they drive in their 2019 Tesla, you feel like, what? What in the world? It doesn't matter. You feel like something's missing. You feel like, and again, you feel like you're not part of the community. You feel like you're not there, like you're lacking. When really there's nothing there. And that's true by all three. And that's why it's saras. And no other sickness which is harsher to the body. No other sickness which makes you feel like garbage and that hurts you so badly. Nothing else is compared to death but saras itself. When you showed that you don't deserve to be part of a society, that the society that you're in, because you either spoke Lashon Hara or some other form of Bein Adam L'Chaver that you messed up. When you show you're not, you're kicked out of society completely. Such a person feels like he's dead. Such a person feels like he's not part of anything. He feels he's no use to others. He sees the world's going on fine without him. What do you need me for? He's no longer necessary. That is the ultimate punishment. That's death. That's the death that we're talking about over here. And that's what it means by Badad Yashav Michutz L'Machaneh. Not the Yisurin, not the pain, because there really isn't any. It's really the inability to feel like you're part of something else. So we don't have that nowadays, obviously. No longer do we have that ability to feel like we're apart. Right? We might have tzaras. It could be that we still have tzaras in some form. As Reb Chaim said, it's possible that we still have tzaras. In fact, this is a question that the Tosis Yomtif in his Hakdama to Mishnayis Negayim, he said he asked the Kasha to Rabbi Kiva Eger. He said, why don't we have Negayim nowadays? Why don't we have it? And Rabbi Kiva Eger said, Tzarachian. He doesn't know. It could be we do. And then the Tosfos Yom Tov gives a whole thing about how we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, etc., and he gives another answer, right? But it is a Shaila. Maybe we do. Maybe we have Tzaras in some way. But we don't feel that, right? Because you're not kicked out of any camp. You could be sitting right here. You could have Tzaras on you, but nobody will know, and you'll be sitting right with everybody else. So what happens nowadays? So we don't have that, but it's a much worse punishment than Badad Yashem Michutz L'Machaneh. We said that a Metzora is considered like he's dead. Well, there's dead physically. Dead physically means you're not a part of society. You're not with everybody else. You're not hanging out with everybody else. You feel separate. And then there's dead spiritually, where you feel like you're not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where you daven and you don't feel like God is answering you. Where you're in a minyan, but it means literally nothing to you. You're in a makom kadosh, like the Kotel, or somewhere even closer, and you don't feel any kedusha. That's spiritual death. A mitzora is a mace, because the Lashon Hara that he spoke, or the Bein Adam L'Chavera issues that he has, refuses to allow him to connect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're missing out on that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you need him so badly, he feels like he's really far away. That's by far the worst punishment imaginable for us. We feel like we're dead. We feel like we have absolutely nothing. And that's why it's so important to work on this mitzvah of Lashon Hara. It's what we just started. We started a chabura twice a week, early in the morning. A couple guys. We have four guys so far, but we're trying to grow. All just going through the Chafetz Chaim. We're doing 3 days at a time. 3 days at a time, so we're missing a day per week, but at least doing 3 days at a time. And the pshat is, we're trying to make ourselves better when it comes to that spiritual death. You work on Lashon Hara, I'm guaranteeing you your Shemona Esrei becomes better. Guaranteeing it. And you can taina on me. You can go up to Shemaim and say that I messed you up. It won't matter. I don't think it'll matter that much. But it's this. You work on your Lashon Hara, I guarantee your davening and your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu improves with it. And that's part of all this. Building up our encouraging other people. Building up our looking at them as Tzelem Elokim. Building them up by saying great things about them and thinking great things about them. You do that, it changes you as a person. And it changes your relationship. It makes your davening that much better. Stop with that, guys.